think you know what verse is to read after we sang the song. One, two, three. Let's read it and pray these verses together. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God.
Therefore, Amen. The world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God,
Amen.
And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be.
Amen.
We know that when He is revealed,
we shall be like Him. Amen.
We shall see Him
as He is.
And everyone
who has this hope,
Amen,
purifies himself just as he is pure. Amen. Behold, Amen has bestowed upon us
that we should be called children of God.
Amen. And we surely are.
Amen.
We are. And we are.
Amen.
No doubt we are. Amen. We are not just called children of God, but we are. Yes. For this reason, the world does not know us. Because it did not know Him. Amen. Yes, we are different from the world. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now
we are children of God.
Amen.
Yes, we are. Yes, but it has not yet appeared. Yes, what we shall be.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Amen. Be like Him.
Amen.
We shall be like Him.
Amen.
Because we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We have this hope and this desire.
Yes.
And everyone who has this hope,
Amen.
He purifies himself.
Amen.
Just as He is pure.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Hallelujah. We have this hope
amen.
In us.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
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 Yes. Just as He is pure.
Amen.
Lord, we want to purify ourselves day by day.
Amen.
Amen. To put away anything in us that is not of You.
Amen.
Day by day. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart,
Amen.
For they shall see Him. Amen. Amen. Well, the most wonderful thing that God has given us is His eternal life, constituting us to be sons and children of God. This is God's love, the most wonderful thing. And as such, we do have a desire to grow and to be like Him. This is very normal. This is the goal, at least an individual goal of a Christian life, is to be like Him. It is really wonderful. Because, remember, after man fell, we look like who? We look like the serpent. You may not believe it, but we really look like the serpent. Fallen, proud, thinking we are somebody. So full of corruption, a lot of terrible things in our life, especially the flesh. And our self is just like the former father, the devil. Remember all those verses that we read. Sin dwell in our flesh. And the Lord told them, no, 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 you. And he's not talking to the thieves and criminals. He was talking to the religious people, to the Pharisees, scribes, chief priests. You do the works of your father. The Lord said, I do the works of my father, but you do the works of your father. Jealousy, envy, strife, even murder. They sought to kill the Lord Jesus. And they were so envious of the Lord. They said, look, everybody's following him. What's going to happen to us? We're going to lose our position. We are good for nothing. That's what they said. Look. So, what is the solution? What should we do? Get rid of him. Get rid of him. Hey, whose idea was that? And Judas, being with the Lord Jesus for how long? 3.5 years from the very beginning. And the serpent was in him working to betray the Lord Jesus. And at the very end, it says Satan entered into him. The very devil himself to finish the job. To finish the job. So don't think that fallen human beings are simple. We need salvation and we need to be saved to the uttermost. And you have to realize that after you are saved and born again, only this part is born again. Still have a lot of trouble. Your old habits are still there. I don't have to tell you, you know. You think after you are saved, you're perfect? I doubt it. I don't think so. No, no, no. I think all of us will admit, no, the Lord has still a big job to do within us. That's why John said, and it, unfortunately, has not yet appeared what we should be. What did he say? In your, it has not yet been revealed. Yeah. Has it been revealed? Not yet, right? Sometimes, Lord, why am I still like this? Well, because it has not yet revealed. Why? Because we are still carrying this terrible flesh of ours with us all the time. And remember what Paul said, as long as we are in this earthly fallen tabernacle, and this is a temporary tabernacle, temporary, zum Glück, at least temporary, right? It's not going to be for eternity. As long as we are in this earthly tabernacle, we groan, we have a lot of trouble. And being present in this body is like being absent from the Lord. It gives us a lot of trouble. Sometimes I wish, let us take off this earthly tabernacle. But no, you can't do that. So, Romans chapter 8, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Just for some of you to know this verse and to understand, Romans chapter 8, the full sonship, we are waiting for our final redemption. So we are redeemed, yes, but not in this area yet. So let us take a look. Romans chapter 8. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for the revelation of the glory of the Son of God. And verse 23, not only this, but we also, especially we ourselves, although we have the first fruits of the Spirit, having the first fruit of the Spirit, we have received the Spirit of sonship. We still groan. Why? Because we are waiting eagerly for our sonship. Our full sonship is what it means. What is meant here. Waiting eagerly for our sonship, meaning to say for the maturity of the sonship. Because we already have received the sonship. We have received the Spirit of sonship, and we are not just called, we are the children of God. So what does it mean here? We're waiting for the sonship. It doesn't mean the waiting to become sons of God. No, here at this point it means you're eagerly waiting for the maturity, for the full sonship. This is what we're waiting for, which is what? The redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. We are hoping for the full sonship, and that is the last step, the redemption of our body. This body is so troublesome. Sometimes you get sick and you can't do anything. And many times, especially you want to go to the meeting and then your body says, I'm tired, I want to stay home. And if you want to read the Bible, then all of a sudden your eye says, I'm sleepy. Right? And so there are so many things this body will oppose you. Busy and I'm tired, I don't want to, but if you're going to do earthly things, wow, you're really invigorated. You're ready to go. But if you are going to do the Lord's work spiritually, then all of a sudden, you're so busy. But if you're not doing the Lord's work, you're so lazy. And all of a sudden, when you're going to do the Lord's work, you're so busy. So are you lazy or are you busy? Depends. Depends. So this is the body. It's really terrible. And remember what Paul said. Being in this earthly tabernacle, we groan. We have a lot of trouble. So this is the final redemption, the last step of our redemption, that is the redemption of the body. Our body will be changed into the glorious spiritual body of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are waiting for the full, complete sonship, because we are a whole person, our spirit, soul, and body. So the Lord has to fully redeem our entire being. So John said it has not yet appeared. No, we still don't look like. But it doesn't mean that, praise the Lord, I'll just be as I am. No. You better purify yourself. If you have a desire for the full sonship to receive your inheritance, then you better do what the Apostle John says. If you have this hope in you, you purify yourself. Because there's still a lot of junk in your heart. So much junk, so much junk here in this area. You still like to have this? Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I'll answer the question at the very end, okay? At least I'll try. A lot of junk within your heart. That's why you dream strange dreams. You think of strange things. Your body is here, but your mind is in Hawaii somewhere. Right? And then in your heart, you say you love the Lord, but you're thinking, how can I get that nice car? There's still so many things within our heart. We desire so many different things. And so you can see we have to purify our being. Lord, purify me. It's very precious for us to have a pure heart. That's why the Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And to sanctify ourselves, to get rid of many other things and to be filled with Him. This is important. John says, all those who have such a hope fixed on Christ, you purify yourself just as He is pure. Just as He is pure. It's very important. If you really, truly experience this wonderful life and you are walking in the light, then you will see there's so many impurities in your heart. We need to get rid of it. Many times I have to tell the Lord, when the Lord shines in my heart, Lord, get rid of that thing. I don't want that thing in my heart. Get rid of it. Save me. Because you are here, able to save me to the uttermost. The Lord is able to save us to the uttermost. On the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, He only accomplished salvation. Salvation and redemption is fully accomplished. That means you are fully justified. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never perish anymore. That is definitely clear. And you receive the eternal life as a gift, which will constitute you to become a child of God. But there's still a lot of work to do, so don't think the Lord does not have anything to do today. Oh, He has more work to do than what He did on the cross 2,000 years ago. What He did on the cross 2,000 years ago, He finished it. His earthly ministry was done in 3.5 years. Of course, in 33.5 years, including His birth. That's very fast. And only He can do that. You cannot help. Peter could not help. James, John, oh. The more they help, the more problems there are. In Chinese, it says, ye bang, ye mang. That means the more you help, if your granddaughter wants to help you to cook in the kitchen, oh, normally if you cook just by yourself there, it's done in 10 minutes. But if your granddaughter helps, oh, it'll be 10 hours. No, that's exaggerated. Maybe 1 hour. So, no, the salvation work of the Lord you cannot help. Only He could do that. But to transform you, to change you, to save you to the uttermost, to do His work today in His heavenly ministry, it takes a long time. Sometimes I thought even 70 years is not enough. Yeah. How many years have you been Christian?
Over 20.
over 20, is his work done in you? No, no, no. How old are you? Let's not ask. But
that's fine.
But after so many years, I have seen people who are already 80 years. After 80 years, the Lord couldn't do much work. Couldn't do much work. Still the same old person. Didn't change. It is a hard job. It is not an easy job. It's not an easy job. That's why here in chapter 3, it is very important to see that the Lord has such a work to do to bring us to maturity, to bring us into full sonship. Because, yes, God has a work to do. It's very, very important. And at the end of this chapter, chapter 3, he says, "And we know by this," by what? How do we really know that he abides in us and we abide in him? Right? How do we know? How do we know? By the Spirit whom he has given us. What pronoun did New King James use? Whom is right, not which, but whom. Because the Holy Spirit is really the Lord. It's a person. By the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And chapter 4, the same thing in verse 13 here. And by this we know that we abide in him and he in us. How do you know? Oh yeah, I believe because the Bible tells me so. No, it's not that. It says because he has given us of his Spirit. Amen. Of his Spirit. This is very important, and this corresponds so much to chapter 2, verse 20 and 27. 20 says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." And verse 27, "And as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him." Dwell in him, fully be, join unto him, let him abide in you. This is important. This word anointing is especially used by John. The anointing. You remember? Of course, the anointing dwells in you right here. Here is the anointing. Let us turn to another page. This word anointing in Greek, it is parakletos. This word is actually the same word as in John 14, 15, 16 concerning the Holy Spirit, a comforter. It means both. It means an advocate. It also means a comforter, a helper. So in John chapter 2, the Lord Jesus, 1 John chapter 2, the Lord Jesus, before the Father, what was he? He was an advocate. But it's the same word. It's the same word. But this word has two meanings. So the Lord, before the Father, is not your comforter. How can he be a comforter for you before the Father? But he is an advocate for you, the one who speaks to you before the judge. That's an advocate defending you. The father doesn't need comfort. The judge doesn't need comfort. The judge needs somebody to speak for you. Why shouldn't I punish Toby, you tell me? Look what he has done. So the Lord is now there to comfort the father. Oh, Father, be merciful. It's okay. No. The Lord cannot, you cannot tell the judge. If somebody commits a crime and then the judge tries to comfort, your lawyer tries to comfort the judge. Oh, judge, don't get angry. Don't get angry. Oh, just have love. Just love this criminal. You think the judge is going to take that? No. So you don't need a comforter before the Father. You need an advocate. You need a good defender. And who can be the best defender? It's Jesus Christ, not the comforter. It is Jesus Christ, the what?
The righteous.
The righteous, exactly. He's the righteous. So, but the same Lord who is now the Spirit dwelling in you is also the same Paracletos, but not the judge. And the Lord will not be judging you all the time within you. So within you, what is he? He's a comforter and helper. You see how wonderful the Lord is? And how often do you really need comfort? How often? Well, often, you tell me often, maybe once a week. That's also
several
often.
Times a day.
Several times a day. Yes, I agree with you because it's the same with me. Right? How much comfort do you need every day? Otherwise, you'll be walking around murmuring. And then, oh, Lord, I failed again. Oh, this thing. And then the enemy is there. You see, I told you so. I'm going to remind you every day that you're a failure. You're a failure. And you're there. And so what do you need? A judge? No, you don't need a judge. But if the Lord within you is the judge, that's it. We'll die. Right? We'll just faint and that'll be the end of you. So the Holy Spirit within you is not your lawyer, but your comforter, your helper. So the Lord says, don't worry. If I go, I will send you another judge, no, another lawyer, no, but another comforter. And he's going to be with you all the time because he's going to dwell in you. He's going to be there all the time for you. And exactly what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit will intercede in you, will teach you, will pray with you. And that's why James said also, pray always in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. So we have a wonderful anointing. So here in the heavens, here's the Father. Here's the wonderful Father, God the Father. But there is, remember, he's also the judge. So before the Father, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. Jesus Christ, the righteous, he is a righteous advocate. He cannot just tell the Father, close your eyes, Father. Don't see what Moses is doing. Just close your eyes. The Father will say, no, in me there is no darkness at all. What do you mean, close my eyes? That's what the Father is going to tell you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. What about in you? So we have trouble. So the Lord cannot tell the Father to close his eyes, but the Lord will say, I paid that debt already. I paid the debt. Look what he has done. The Lord will say, yes, he was wrong, but I already paid the debt. How much does he owe you? How much does he owe you? This much, okay. Yeah, your father. The debt is paid. This is exactly what Romans tells us. What our flesh cannot do, Christ came. He did it. He fulfilled all the righteousness for you and for me. And the Father has to receive this. It's paid. Once it's paid, it's paid. How wonderful. You have such a righteous judge and advocate before the Father. But is that good enough? That's not good enough because you're still in your poor condition. Okay, the debt is paid, but tomorrow you go gamble again. The next day you're in the casino again. So to speak. You will do this again, you're going to do that again, and so what is the Lord going to do? Pay the debt again? No. So within your spirit, you can see I'm really trained to draw three circles. So within your spirit, he is the anointing. He is the anointing here. He's the anointing. Wonderful. What is his job there? Not just only to comfort you, but to transform you, to change you. To change you. You know, this word, anointing, is actually the same word as Christ. As Christ. So, if we say, here's Christ, Jesus Christ, C-R-I-S-T, yeah, I'm sorry, Christ is here. The anointing is the what? Christing. Of course, there is no such word. But there is such a word. Christ is the anointed one. And the Spirit is the anointing. To anoint Christ into you. Just like you have paint. What do you do with the paint? Paint is for what? It's for painting. If you only have the paint and you're not painting, then what do you have the paint for? Just put it in your garage. Why do you buy paint? You buy paint because you want to paint. You're going to do some painting. If you don't want to do some painting, you don't need the paint. Right? So, you know, a few weeks ago, I was in California, at Northern Cal. You know what I was doing there? I was doing painting. At my daughter's house, I was painting up, painting here, not here, no, but I was painting. I was doing painting. The easiest thing to do is to buy paint. That's the easiest thing. You just transfer it from Costco to the house. That's very easy. The hardest thing to do is to paint. Especially doing prep work. You have to do a lot of prep work. Covering this, covering that. And you need to do a lot of prepping. Prepping takes a lot of time. And then the hard work is finally you do it like this, you paint. It takes such a long time, hard work. Well, I was doing that, I said, Lord, yes, it's really hard work. Your hard work trying to anoint me, doing your painting in our work. So to receive the Holy Spirit into you is very easy. It's very easy. From Costco, they bring the paint to my daughter's house. That was the easiest thing to do. You just pay the price, you got the paint. But if your paint is just right there and nobody's doing the painting, is it okay? Yeah? How about that, John? You just put the paint right there, the color, on top of the shelf there. And that's what a lot of Christians do. You have the anointing, the paint. You already have the paint in your spirit, but the spirit cannot paint in you. There's no painting, no anointing. This is not good. So what the anointing wants to do is to put this heavenly paint into you and paint you all over you, change your color. How about that? But if you're not willing to cooperate, you cannot. So we have a wonderful Christ. His humanity is wonderful. Praise the Lord for the wonderful humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of his virtues. Philippians tells us the first and foremost virtue is that he lowered himself, willing to put away his glory. It's quite different from us. We want to glorify ourselves. But the Lord was putting aside his glory, and he lowered himself. But in a church life, nobody's willing to lower himself. I'm on the top, and I want to stay on the top. And you cannot build the house. The first wonderful step of the Lord Jesus Christ is his incarnation. Incarnation is not just becoming a man, it's lowering himself. And what did Paul said? Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? The willingness to lower yourself. And Paul says, each one look at the other as what? As higher than yourself. Even the church life, I think I'm higher than George because I'm older. So George, I'm older. You may be right, but I'm older. So No. This is not the way the Lord is. So in this paint, in this wonderful heavenly paint, the first color is called emptying yourself, lowering yourself. The color of humility, how about that? Do you have that color? Or do you choose your color? I want to choose the kingly color. If it's not a kingly color, don't paint me. If you want to paint me, you paint me the purple, the color of the king. I want that color. Ah, do you choose that color? What do you want to choose, the color of a slave or a color of the king? What color do you prefer? The Pope prefers the purple. That's what a Pope wants. Scarlet and purple. Well, how do you like that color? What about the color of a slave? Do you prefer that color? So, it's not simple. the purpose of the anointing within you, and that's why it's called the anointing. It is the Holy Spirit, but the anointing oil is different to just is different from just the pure Spirit of God. It has so many additives added, so many spices added into it. So when you go to Costco, you choose the color, they will just put in the color in it and then put it in a machine, just spin, spin, now you have it, take it home. But it's only in that color. So they put the additive. They learned it definitely from the wise God. So in one hin of the olive, pure olive oil, God told Moses, you get the different spices, four different spices, and add them into the hin of oil. And all of this is just what Christ has gone through in his becoming a man, lowering himself with the pure humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is not in him. In his humanity, there is no leaven. He's pure. That's why John said, you have to purify yourself just as he is pure. If you notice any impurities in yourself, you must tell the Lord, remove that from me. Save me. Save me. That's why it says he is able to save you to the uttermost. It's very important. And then, of course, the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you cannot suffer in the church life, you cannot build a church. No. No, no. Everybody wants to have everything so smoothly. That's what I thought, too, many, many years ago when I was much younger. Wow. No, let's build up the church. I didn't realize that building up the church, you go through so much suffering. Right. Paul says what? I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. What about that color? What about this color? Would you like this color? To be conformed to his death. If in a church life we are easily offended, you cannot suffer if somebody just says something to you and you react. And if your wife said something to you, you also just react. And you don't have that color. You're lacking that paint. The Lord's painting is not monotonous. You just look at Jerusalem. How many colors are there? How many colors does a rainbow have? And what about the 12 layers of the foundation of the New Jerusalem? All kinds of colors. We need blue, we need green, we need all kinds of colors. All the colors are needed. And they are all there in the anointing. The anointing spirit should know what color is the paint. One of the difficult things in the painting is to decide which color. And I tell you, if there are four people, they're deciding. Me, my wife, Stefan, and Naomi, all four of us deciding the color. I like this color. No. And she likes that color. I said, no. And then this one chooses this color. What color do you choose? You're singing, hallelujah, we've lost our choice. Really? Really? Yeah. In the church life, who should serve? He, me? Who's going to choose? And what do you like to do? What area? How do you like to do this way? Do you like to do this way? I like to do that way. You have a choice. Whose choice? Yes, we do have. We choose His choice. All the time you choose His choice. Actually, you have not lost your choice. When I was singing, I thought, I'll tell John, change that verse. Hallelujah, I've made up my choice. And my choice is His choice. Because the Lord is not going to force you. You choose what He wants. If the Lord says, this color, amen, you tell the Lord, I accept. Paint it. Let's do it. Right away. Don't procrastinate. Tell the Lord, let's start. Do the prep work. Do the prep work. We all need to see this. Let the Lord make the choice what to do because He knows best. Because He knows what you need and what I need. We have to learn this, to choose what He wants. And that is why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, what did he say? Make the Holy Spirit happy. Yes, definitely. It's just the other way of saying, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Right? Take a look. See what he says. Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, is it? Four. Chapter 4. Oh, 4. Chapter 4, I'm sorry. Verse 30. Make the Holy Spirit of God happy. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30. What does it mean, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God? I would prefer it for my own sake, I would say, make the Holy Spirit of God happy. Make Him happy. Agree with Him. Say yes to Him. Don't grieve Him. Make Him happy. If you say no to Him all the time, even do exactly the opposite of what He wants, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And where does He live? He lives in you. The Holy Anointing lives in you. So no wonder you're not happy. Every time I look at you, you look at me, we both have long faces. You know why? Because we always grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And if He's not happy, you think you can be happy? Yeah. If Cain is not happy, are you going to be happy? No. And if Shirley is not happy, you think Cain is happy? If one of the party is not happy, are you happy when your wife is very sad? No. Or are you happy he's sad? She's sad. Make her happy, okay? Yes. That's right. Agree with Him. Don't always oppose. No, no. No, 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 no. If you always say no to your dear wife, you think she'll be happy? And you think the church life will be full of joy? No, don't do that. And no, you cannot do that. And no. And no. You think the church life, David, will be happy? No. At the end, nobody's happy. Nobody's happy in the church life. No. If the Holy Spirit within you is grieving all the time, you think you will have a joyful life. John says that your joy may be made full. A church life should be full of peace and joy. And how do you have this joy? By agreeing with the anointing within you. Let the anointing do his job to change you, so that the advocate will tell the Father, Father, you see, did you see, you see? Look at Toby now. Yeah. It is different. Don't think this is not true. You remember the Lord gave a parable about a tree not bearing fruit. And the father says, cut it down. Right? Mm-hmm. What did the Lord say?
Try it one more year.
One more year? Is it just 1 year? Maybe the Lord will say, but with this one, give me 3 years. What about with you? Just 3 years? 30. 30, is 30 enough? How many years does he need? If you don't cooperate, then the Lord will have to extend that to the millennial kingdom age to finish his job. Because it's not done. So if it's not done in this age of grace, the Lord will say, well, okay, I'll do it afterwards. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to conform us to the image of his Son. This job has to be done. If not in this age, it's going to be done in the next age. Because Romans 8 tells us, whom he saved, he'll justify and he'll sanctify and he will glorify. If he can't do it today, he'll have to do it some other time. In order to conform us all to this glorious image of the firstborn, Son of God. This is a wonderful job. This is the hope of glory. Christ in you as the anointing. That's why it's called Christing. Painting. You said, I have the paint in me. Yeah, of course you have the paint sitting in the living room, but not painted. So to have the paint is one thing, and to have the paint painted on the wall, that's another thing. But if you don't paint it, your wall will still look dirty and terrible color, black, and I don't know what. Purple and pink, and you have all kinds of terrible color, and you have a nice color sitting there on the floor in your living room, and people will come in and say, "Well, I got the paint. What are you complaining? I have the paint." A lot of people say, "I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm saved." Yeah, that's right. What can you say? If you will not let the anointing teach you in all things, in everything the anointing wants you to conform to him, the teaching is really to conform you to his nature. So the more he adds his paint into you with all kinds of wonderful color, you paint the ceiling one color, you paint. You look at this, you have different walls. Wow, it's a wonderful accent. And then you have white there in the ceiling, which is good. And you have a different color in the carpet. And you have different colors in the wall. And then the fireplace, you have different. And the wood is different. And you have all kinds of flowers there. It's so beautiful. The glory of Christ, the expression of Christ. This is what the anointing wants to do within all of us. Wonderful. It's a tedious job, not an easy job. A lot of work to do, and very precise. Very, very precise. Don't do an Italian job. Italian job. It's not very precise. Do a German job. Swiss job. The Swiss precision. It's very good. Now, especially if you're taping it with a painter's tape. So good. It's a good training. Otherwise, your line will be like this. you'll be like the wave in the ocean. So when you go into the living room, you'll be going around like this. No, the Holy Spirit within us must do a perfect job. It's not easy. And there is another verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that says what? Quench not. Don't quench. Quench not the Holy Spirit of God. Thessalonians, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Yes. Oh, I'm in Colossians, sorry. What does it say here? Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. This is really necessary for us to cooperate. Do not quench the Spirit. Many times the Spirit wants to do this, you just quench him. You stop him. When he's doing his job, don't interrupt. Let him finish the work. My grandson always liked to be there. So when we were doing the work, we draw a line there. Don't pass this line. Just stay out there. he likes to help. Oh, when a 5.5-year-old is trying to help in the painting, it can be a catastrophe. It could be, right? So don't disturb the work of the Holy Spirit. Let him do the job in peace. Don't quench his work. Let him do the job. He knows what to do. Just trust him. Trust in the Holy Spirit to do the job. He knows what to do, and he won't lie to you. If he says, this is the best, it is the best. Don't argue with him. Are you sure? Are you sure? Is it right? Is it okay? Let me help. May I help? I'd like to do this. Give me another brush. Oh, it's dangerous. Don't try to disturb his work. Quench not the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. This is very important because the Spirit has a lot of important work to do in you. It's not that he doesn't love you, but you need to give him peace and time to do the work. the less you interrupt, the faster the job will be done. This is really true. So do not quench and do not grieve. Make him happy. Let this job be done joyfully. Right? Then everybody's happy. He's happy, you're happy, and the whole family is happy, and the whole church is happy at the very end. We all need to learn this. The Holy Spirit will do the work within you. So now you can see how these two work of our Lord Jesus Christ just correspond to each other. We have such a wonderful Christ today, doing a transforming work so that we will be like him. And day by day, in a very practical area and situation, this is why the light and the love is necessary in the building up of the church and in your personal Christian life. If you have these two elements there working together, the holy anointing, the Spirit within us, will accomplish his purpose, will perfect the work of life, of this wonderful eternal life within the church. Praise the Lord. May the Lord really do something within all of us. And, yeah, finally, let's go back to 1 John and we'll end the conference. This is very important. Huh? I really hope you can all see this and enjoy it. It is by the Spirit which he has given us. And the more you enjoy this, the more you will have the Father and the Son, because the eternal life is just the Father and the Son. Amen. In chapter 5, beginning in verse 10, I'll just read through it. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. It's always greater. And the witness of God is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. The one who believes, now you know what it means to believe, in the Son, that's to receive him, to partake of him, has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness, the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this witness, and the witness is this, testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And you have to realize this life is the anointing today. You don't just receive him. Remember, don't just buy the paint. You have the paint. Now this sonship has to spread in your whole being. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know. You need to know this eternal life. Don't just believe. For us to believe is to know, to receive. And to know is to experience. We know by experiencing. And this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What is his will now? His will is to conform us fully into the image of his Son, to bring us into full sonship, that we may inherit the wonderful inheritance and to bring us into glory. So whatever we ask according to his will, we will receive. We know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. And then, yes, we need to help the brothers. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, so don't go too far, brothers. Don't go too far. Yes, we still could sin, just like what chapter 2 says. But there is a sin that leads to death. And death here even refers to physical death. If we go too far, it is not good. This much we know. He shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who committed sin, not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. Don't ask me what sin it is. Because it depends on God and that person. And only God knows, God who is the judge, if a person went too far, you're forcing God to terminate your life. Even on this earth. You remember Ananias in the book of Acts? He deceived the Holy Spirit. And when Peter asked him, and he continued to deceive the Holy Spirit, what happened to Ananias? He fell dead right there and then. What about those brothers in Corinth, in a church in Corinth, who did not discern the body of Christ and causing so much confusion there in the breaking of bread? What did Paul say? You are eating and drinking to your own condemnation. That's why some of you are sickly, some are even dead. So, it doesn't mean that any little wrong thing we do, we're going to fall dead. There won't be anybody in the church life. If we all fall dead like Ananias, there won't be anybody in the church. There won't be any church left. We all fall dead. No. So it depends on God. It depends on God how He judges. Depends on a person. So, and it doesn't happen very often, these things. But it is a warning to us, don't go too far. Don't go too far. You have to be restrained by the Lord within us. And if you go too far, there is judgment. I hate to say this, but Peter, John, mention that here in a very serious way. I do not say that he should make request for this person. All unrighteousness is sin, of course. But there is a sin not leading to death. There is a sin that leads to death. So it doesn't mean that committing every sin, but it is good for us not to sin. And may the Lord help us. We know that no one who is born of God sins. Meaning to say, you will not sin purposely. Impossible. Because you're born of God, but you sin because, unfortunately, sin still dwells in here and you have not been strengthened yet in the inner man, so you commit sin. That's why we have an advocate. But then you have to learn to let the Holy Spirit as the anointing work in you so that you'll be strengthened and you will increase in the growth of life. And when this life grows, then you will experience strength to overcome. So we know that no one who is born of God sins. But he who was born of God keeps him. God will keep him. And the evil one does not touch him. It's not easy for the evil one to touch us because we belong to God. So if I'm with my son, with my children, my grandson, you better not come and touch my son. Or my grandson, I mean. Because if you touch him, you're touching me. So this is why we have a wonderful Father who keeps us, who cares for us, and who protects us. And the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God. Hey, if anyone touch Kiara, oh, you have to do with him. Right? Not simple. The parents are there to protect, to help, to care. And we have such a wonderful Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. And we know that a Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. So you see, it is not just a thing that you receive, but you are in this wonderful family with the Father and with the Son. And in the church life today, this is the true God and eternal life. And yet, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Meaning to say that we also have a responsibility. Don't say, oh, my Father will take care of me and I can do whatever I like. No, not like that. We still have to guard ourselves from distractions, because the enemy is always there trying to entice us, to seduce us, to lead us astray by idols. What are idols? Idols are replacements of God. There are many replacements. Covetousness is idolatry. Today, you may not have that big fat guy, bald-headed, with a big tummy. You may not have that idol in your house, but you may replace a lot of other things that occupies your heart. So we, as the children of God, we should keep our heart pure for the Lord. And this eternal life within us will grow. Praise the Lord. Now, how to be, what is an overcomer? Exactly that. What we have shared, to be a mature son of God. If you are mature in life and you have all the colors, heavenly colors painted in you, you're mature. You are an overcomer. Yes, this is an overcomer. Okay, praise the Lord. That's it. We'll see you again some other time. Amen.
Okay, let's see. 3:15.